and everything to each other. And you'll hear that over, I can't live without that person. Emotional dependent relationship. My wife says that, I don't know what I'd ever do. I couldn't live without you. And we remind each other, hey, God's more important than either one of us are to each other. That was one of the sins my wife had to repent of in the last 5 years. She had to give me over to God because she realized I was her strength. I was everything she needed. And it was idolatry in her life because even between husband and wife, it has got to be God is my strength. God sustains me. God is everything I need. And there was such a relief in her life towards God, and anointing began to go forth when she was able. It might be one of your mates. Hosea 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, behold, I'll hedge up her way with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her path, and she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them, and she will seek them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my first husband, for it was better for me than now. You build a hedge of thorns around him. In fact, if you are more interested in this prayer right now, I gave Phil a 3-page thing on this of how to pray over an individual or an unfaithful mate or a situation, an ungodly situation. Now, don't use it as witchcraft. You may say, well, that I don't like the person that my son has chosen for a mate. Now, if it's unequally yoked, if they're not a Christian whatsoever, and there's a physical relationship, yeah, I think we could pray a hedge of thorns between that physical relationship. But if you just don't like their personality, and she's a Christian, hey, don't enter into witchcraft.
Amen.
Why we enter an emotional dependent relationship? Okay, we've got several reasons why. First of all, rejection. In our youth, or even presently, we have sensed or felt rejection, or rejection's been imparted to us, and so we're seeking out acceptance, and we're going to grab anybody that will accept us. But realize there are people also out there that are looking for people that are hurt and wounded just so they can control and dominate them. I went through a South Carolina State Satanism seminar, a 2-day seminar, a number of years back to help to train and equip our youth at the church I was at. And they said 10% of all high school students are involved in some type of satanic occult or another. Most of them are very mildly involved. But they said they have, every single high school has put people that have been trained to recognize the hurting and the rejected, and they go in there to trap them into their ungodly schemes. They develop a soul tie because that hurting and rejected person is so wounded, they're just looking for the first one to come along with acceptance. What if we trained our youth to do the same thing? Look for the hurting, look for the rejected. We'd feel the theater.
Yeah.
Another reason we get into it, just lonely. We're looking for friendship. Ministered in one situation, two leaders' wives in a great big church situation whose pastors, whose husbands were given to work. They weren't ministers, but they were given to their work. They were both men that had slumbering spirits, what we talked about last night, and weren't able to identify emotionally with their wives. They were committed to their wives. They loved their wives. They gave what they knew how to give. But they didn't meet the emotional needs of the wives. Those two women were so lonely. In a marriage is the loneliest place in the world when the two cannot meet and become one in spirit. Not just one in mind, will, and emotions, and one in body, but one in spirit. So if that doesn't happen, marriage is lonely. And these two godly women got into a relationship or praying for their husbands. What do you think it turned to over about a 5-year period? Oh, they're crying and weeping over each other in his arms and weeping and praying for the other husband. Yes, it turned into a physical thing. And it was very, very hard to break that. My wife and I went through torment and torture trying to deal with that, because now their witchcraft turns against us when you begin to counsel with that situation. Domination, intimidation, manipulation. But the root cause was the loneliness they were feeling. Insecurity, number three. Looking for security in someone else other than God. My wife, in an emotional dependent relationship with her husband, which everyone would have thought, well, that's very godly. They got a great thing going on. But I was her strength. I was her life. She needed security. The number one root and hurt from her childhood was insecurity from some things that occurred within their family. And she needed security. I was her security. It's idolatry. God alone can be our security and our strength. Fourthly, low self-esteem and a low self-image. We're just feeding on any strong relationship that'll accept us, anyone that comes along. Fifthly, fears. Fear of being alone. Fear of being rejected. We start turning to other people, allowing ourselves to get into that. Rebellion. Sixthly, unyielded life to God is all rebellion is. When our relationship with God isn't healthy, our relationships with others won't be healthy, and we'll find ourselves getting in some type of soul tie with others. A life crisis can occur. We're just in grief. We're in turmoil within our life. We're in a life crisis. A divorce or whatever it might be, and it happens often, especially where divorces occurred and there's been rejection, and they're just looking for somebody. That woman or that man's looking for someone, and they find themselves in an immoral relationship with perhaps the first person that comes along. Realize people are looking to catch you at a weak moment. There are those out there that want authority, they want position, they want dominance in people's lives. They live for it because it makes them feel power when inside they're really weak and they're insecure and they're wounded, but they feel strong and powerful when they have someone to dominate. We've got a lot of people in ministry and in leadership in churches that are following that very example right there. They need someone to control in order to feel good about themselves. And that goes back to the other one, I already covered it, but it's a desire to be in control. There's people out there with a desire to be in control that are looking to rule. And they will be in a relationship as long with you, as long as they can control and manipulate the other person. But as soon as you begin to pull away, they will cut it off. The other person that usually gets hooked into this is usually a very insecure, lonely, rejected person, and they don't want to let go, and this thing may go on. You almost always have the one who wants to control and the one who needs to be wanted, needs to be needed, needs to be accepted. Now let's go over what feeds the relationship. What feeds the relationship? Flattery. The dominant one in the relationship, well, the controller is an expert with words in order to gain favor and approval so they can receive something in return. And boy, they'll just let the words flow. They'll be smooth as honey. But I tell you what, it'll have a sting and the bite of a viper in it. Financial and material possessions. They'll keep gifts or money coming in to control you, but there'll always be a hook within that. This happens within parent relationships often, especially where money's in the family, where they're giving, and they'll hear things like, you owe me, or you'll hear things, after all I've done for you, you treat me this way. Domination, intimidation, manipulation is the sin of witchcraft. Anytime we say, after all I've done for you. Let's name it for what it is. Let's quit putting honey on it. We're out to control that person through guilt, intimidation, and manipulation. The controlling person, am I being too hard on you? Are we not being too hard? The controlling person, thirdly, keeps the other in bondage by always wanting to know where they're at, what they're doing, always keeping tabs on them. It may be little phone calls here and there, always keeping up. Fourthly, they might use eye contact or facial expressions to control and keep the other person in line. Hey, we're good at it, aren't we, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. All we got to do is be in that restaurant and we can look over at that son. My little boy, Joshua, came running in and I gave him one of those and I'm trying to die to that. I've been an expert witch my whole life, you know. Or warlock, I guess it is, for male. And I gave Joshua my little one, and Joshua won't put up with it, you know. He hasn't lived with much of it. Those two older ones got a lot of it. He'd come running into Mommy, Daddy's giving me another one of those looks again. And I knew, oh, my goodness, I went right back into my witchcraft, you know. And I was good at it. I can rule the house with that stares. Some call it the evil eye. Often we have to break people free of literally that evil eye that they receive from parents. It's left a scar and a bruise of confusion within the inside. Another thing that feeds the relationship is the I need you syndrome. They'll use guilt manipulation. I can't live without you. I'll kill myself if you leave. Suicide threat. Someone said that to my wife recently, and she said, well, it's probably going to come one day you'll have to do that. But I want you to know one thing. I will not feel guilty about it one bit. And boy, that just shook them. And they knew, well, that won't work anymore. Characteristics of emotional dependent relationships. They're always making references to the person, spend a lot of time thinking, or always talking about them. You'll see that name coming up over and over again within their conversation. Secondly, not interested in developing other relationships and will even let their present relationships collapse, even their marriage, in order to pursue that other relationship. Jealousy will be involved. Whenever you start drawing close to another person, that one that is trying to be in that emotional dependent relationship with you will get jealous and will fight and will kick and will pout. Possessiveness, they think they have to own you. Manipulation and control, they will fake hurts, grief, depression, sickness in order to get your time. They want to be around you. They'll do whatever it is to get you over to their house or on the phone with you and keep you there. Emotionally preoccupied with each other or with the other person. Defensive of the relationship. If questioned, why do you spend so much time talking about this person? Aren't you a little bit close to the boy? They will immediately go on the defense and claws may come out and start ripping and tearing. If the strong and emotional dependence relationship is strong, wherever there's a group at, you'll see them near each other or touching each other. If it's growing on, beginning to come on within someone in a church, in a local church, with between a man and a female, you'll always see them gravitating towards each other. They may offer a lot of dinners or a lot of time together to get the two couples together, but eventually destruction of both marriages occurs. I'm kind of going quickly because we've been way over. I realize that. If one begins to withdraw from the relationship, the other begins to panic emotionally. It may throw them into depression, into anger, hostility. We already said this, but sexual feelings and desires are usually aroused towards each other, even when of the same sex. When in a crowd or group, they'll always be looking at each other for eye contact. All right, how do I know if I'm in one? How do I know if I'm in an unhealthy association? Not just an emotional dependent relationship, but an unhealthy association. I'm going to give you some questions. You have to get the tape if you want to write them down, because I'm going through them quickly. Do you find yourself doing things you don't want to do, or feeling things you don't want to feel that are unscriptural or borderline in order to please this person or to keep them happy? Peer pressure at a party, sexual activity, might even be over gossip or something. Do you refrain from certain activities or behavior that have no clear biblical guidelines in order to keep this person content, trying to keep them happy? Wearing clothes a certain way, jewelry a certain way, doing certain things to keep them happy, to keep them off your back, living by a list of do's and don'ts for them, not attending certain functions or doing certain things just to keep them happy because you don't want to hear them griping and complaining. Do you refrain from spending time or developing a relationship with someone that you feel God is leading you to in order to prevent conflict with this person? Example, especially with the parent relationship. Seeing one parent after divorce and the other parent throws you in the guilt trip for wanting to see the other one so much. That was one I had to go through in the early years. Here's one that happens within church relationships a lot. Going to lunch with one friend, but making sure we didn't let the other one know because they're going to get up all upset or they're going to get all hurt. So it's really trying to hide any meetings you have one-on-one with someone else from another person. That could be an unhealthy relationship for that person if we got in it. Do you find yourself feeling doubt and confusion or shame or strife after conversations or contact with a certain individual? And that person's trying to put you through some type of guilt trip. They might be one that's trying to dominate within that. Often happens with a parent. Do you feel guilty, condemnation, or control after spending time with this individual? Do you feel after you're away from them that you felt like you were controlled by them? Do you feel guilty because of that? They may make their problems seem like your fault by putting blame on you. And so you leave in condemnation or you leave feeling guilty. How do we break free of the soul tie? First of all, we cut the relationship off completely. Paul says, don't even have a part of these things. Now, there may be some no exact absolutes in that, and my wife couldn't cut her relationship off with me completely to break that negative soul tie she was in. So that's not all, but we want to, may need to break the relationship. Secondly, cut off any sexual activity that may be going on within that, if that's going on outside of marriage or out with another person. C, guard yourself spiritually. D, renew your relationship with God because you abandoned Him as Lord and placed this person first in your life. Receive ministry, perhaps one-on-one ministry. And again, it's just some short prayers of deliverance for breaking the soul tie. Allow the Lord to reveal insecurities and weaknesses that led to developing the soul tie and experience His dealings. Why did you get caught up in this? You might need ministry over the reasons why. Make new friends and don't let life revolve around one person. Now, how many people feel at one time or another that you've been bound or influenced by an unhealthy soul tie? Just raise your hand. Be honest. I think it's about every one of us. A few now. Now, how many presently feel that somehow you're being affected by an unhealthy soul tie? How many presently might feel that way? A few. What I want to do is just corporately praying together. Corporately praying together. I'm going to give you basically a sample prayer of how we break soul ties when we're ministering to someone in this area. There is no reason in the world why this thing can't break right now. Now, what may happen is we might have to break it again and again if it's strong, because as you begin to break loose, there is forces that will continue to come at you trying to get you not break. They panic. They'll panic and they'll start witchcraft in the heavenlies, and so we might have to continually come through. But it begins with basically, if you're writing it down, seven things. I'll give you basically seven things we pray over quickly, and then we're going to pray together. One, we repent for allowing the unhealthy, ungodly soul tie. Repent of idolatry. Two, we forgive the person who tied us up, who bound us. Three, we break the soul tie. We renounce it. We break the tie to our mind, will, and emotions. Fourth, we break any sexual soul ties or bonds that occurred. Fifth, we rebuke or bind any demonic spirit, which usually that of witchcraft or divination or familiar spirit is involved. We rebuke or bind that was attached to the soul tie. It might be perverse if it got into sexual things. Sixthly, we call back every emotion, thought, part of the bond that took place. We send back to the person every thought, emotion, and part of the will that was imparted to them. What we want is we want ourselves whole again. Seventhly, we pray healing over the wholeness of the mind, will, and emotions. We follow a pattern right there. We never know how long or short the prayer will be. Many times it is extensive, as we might do some deliverance in that area in someone's life. Y'all ready to pray over this?
Yeah.
All right. Let's all stand and we'll pray together. I'll kind of lead you, and I'll leave just some time there. If you want to say it out loud, that's fine. If there's a husband or wife or a partner or a friend next to you and you want to join hands and pray with them that something be broken there in their life and pray out loud, let's go with it. I'll just kind of lead you in this. Lord, I repent for allowing any unhealthy or ungodly soul tie to be formed in my life. Hallelujah. Just repeat that with me. I repent of the idolatry of getting bonded to them, Lord God. And Lord, I forgive that person for starting the bond in my life. I forgive them for any domination, intimidation, or manipulation. I forgive them for seeking to control me. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me.
Lord, I ask you to forgive me.
For yielding to that in any way. And ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
For every way I've sought to control them.
Every way that I've sought to control them.
Through domination, intimidation, or witchcraft.
Or witchcraft.
And I renounce.
And I renounce.
Every unhealthy part of that bond. But I pray you strengthen.
I pray you strengthen
every godly thing within that relationship.
Every godly thing within that relationship.
Now I break the tie to my mind.
My
will and emotions.
Will and emotions.
Of every ungodly bond.
Every ungodly bond.
And every tie.
And every tie.
I break any sexual tie or sexual desires or bonds that rose up between us. And I rebuke that spirit of domination, intimidation, and manipulation. I rebuke and bind all witchcraft, divination, and
familiar spirits
from off of my life. And I call back every emotion,
every thought,
and every part of my will,
that I gave to this person.
And I send back unto that person
every thought,
every emotion, and every part of my will
that was imparted to them.
And I pray for healing, Lord,
that I be whole within my mind,
I be whole within my will,
I be whole within my emotions.
Just make me whole in Jesus Christ,
totally free.
Free from all idolatry.
And I thank you that I'm cleansed
by the blood of Jesus Christ.
And I receive your liberty.
And I only from this day forward
will bind myself to godly associations
with your help and your strength.
And now I thank you for liberty in Christ.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the end of Soul Ties and Emotional Dependencies. If you'd like more information about tapes from Shiloh Place Ministries or you'd like to receive a free newsletter, write us at P.O. Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528, or call at 803-381-0007.